Welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv. Now, what I'd like to talk about now is something that everybody needs to be thinking about every year. Why every year? Because every year we have a financial year-end review, or financial year-end. And at that financial year-end, we need to have a financial year-end review. We need to think about, okay, we've got a tax ending very soon. We're going to have to report on our year. What are the things that we need to think about? What are the things that we need to consider and perhaps even put into place before the end of the financial year so that we are better placed from a tax perspective? Now, to help me out on that, I have the beautiful Tasha Hungerford.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Hello, everybody. How are you today?
Very good. Now, what we're going to be looking at here is a number of different things. Obviously, we're talking to property investors, Tash.
Yes.
Predominantly.
Yep.
I mean, perhaps a few business owners in there as well. But we're talking predominantly to property investors. So let's talk through some of the things that they should be thinking about as we're coming up to the end of the financial year. Let's start with, what's their income going to be?
Yeah, and this is important because often in the past, this is a bit of a competition between accountants and brokers.
It is.
So, you know, you come to your accountant and they say, oh, let's claim this and claim that and, you know, get that income as low as we possibly can so you've got no tax to pay on it.
Hmm.
And then you might go to your broker and they say, oh, well, we can't get a loan now, you know, your income's so low. So
it's a trade-off.
That's right, you know, and you really have to have someone that understands that and will work with your broker and
yep.
have a broker that will work with you as well.
That's right. So really about this time of year coming up to the end of the financial year, you should be thinking about, you know, well, what have I done for the year? Have I sold a property? Have I, you know, sold an asset? Have I had an extraordinary income this year that perhaps I haven't had last year? Is my income low this year? And perhaps I should be bringing forward some of my invoicing or something into this year, just to make sure that the tax position for each year is exactly where you want it to be for both borrowing and tax.
That's right. You know, obviously people don't want to pay any more tax than they have to.
Sure.
And that's very understandable. So there's certainly things we can do, but the first step is that understanding what has gone on for the first part of that financial year and what you're likely to earn or have happen before the 30th of June, and really doing some projections around, well, this is what that income or loss is going to be and what can we do with that?
Yeah. Because let's say, you know, you sell a property in a year. There may be some great things you can do. You might have a capital gain that you're going to have to pay tax on. And you might even consider, well, you know, I've got those shares over there and they're not quite what I paid for them. So maybe it's advantageous for me to sell them, even though I'm making a loss on them, offset that loss against the capital gain, and then maybe buy something else that's going to do better in the future.
That's right. You're the perfect time to realise a capital loss on an asset that you've just held just because, not for any good, you know, investment decision.
That's right. So balancing off, because, you know, any capital gain can only be offset against a capital loss, but it needs to be either a capital loss prior to the capital gain, which has been carried forward, or in the same year as the capital gain, because there's no good making a capital gain this year and then making a capital loss next year and think, oh, I'll just offset the two. Well, that doesn't work that way. The tax office has a cut-off date, and that's the cut-off date.
Absolutely, and probably an important point to note about that is contract dates.
Ah, yes.
So with capital gains tax, it's the only area of the tax law where the ATO actually looks at the contract date, not the settlement date. And the number of clients I've had come see me over the year and say, you know, I sold a property, but it doesn't matter. You know, it settled, you know, July, so that's this financial year. It's like, no, hang on, you actually signed the contract back in June. It's got to go back into that other year. And suddenly they've got this massive tax problem that they just didn't know about.
And as you come up to the end of the financial year, it's really something you need to be considering about properties. If you've got them for sale, do you actually want the contract date to be in this year but not settling till next year, or do you want to push that contract date out into, say, the 1st of July, and that way the tax then on that sale won't be due until about 18 months' time or more?
Yeah, that's right. And also that 12-month consideration. So if you hold these assets for 12 months,
yep,
then you get the 50% discount.
Yeah.
So, you know, is it worth selling that investment property now, or should you just not put it on the market for another 3, 4, 5 months? So,
and then we can get into all the technical stuff, which is probably too much for a podcast, but, you know, option contracts and things like that can be used for that sort of thing. Okay, so let's say we're looking at tax and we're looking to reduce tax, Tash. And we're a property investor.
Yes.
What are some of the things that we could perhaps bring forward as expenses into this year if we were looking to really power down our taxable income this year?
Yes, so things like that will be basically increasing rental property expenses.
Right, so what does that mean?
So that's things like approaching your bank to prepay interest.
Can you prepay interest?
You can. You know, it sounds like a horrible concept that you're giving the banks more, but absolutely you can. You know, it's looking at things, what needs to be fixed up around the property, you know, incurring repairs and maintenance.
Now you better make sure you know it's a repair, not a capital expense, you don't get the tax deduction for anyway.
No, that's right. Don't go and spend $2,500 on a new kitchen that you're only going to get a portion of that as depreciated, basically. So, but yes, repairs, maintenance, anything that needs to be fixed up. Just looking at any things like, you know, does the carpets need to be cleaned? You know, you have smoke alarm, people come around and test, or you're better off doing that in June than July. So having a look at, you know, have you been paying your insurance by monthly installments and say, okay, well, at June I'll contact them and ask if I can pay for the full year instead of monthly.
Any of those prepayments that you like prepayment of interest and prepayment of, you know, your insurance or whatever else it might be, you're not really getting a greater tax deduction in the long term. All you're doing is bringing forward that tax deduction.
That's right, just changing the timing of that. So that's where you need to know what kind of year you've had.
Yep.
You know, if you've got a year with hardly any income in, that's not when you'd go prepaying things.
No. Not at all. So even looking at, particularly for somebody who's in business where their income probably goes up and down a bit more than someone who's on salary, really understanding what your tax implications are going to be from year to year, these types of things can even out your years.
Yeah, they can.
From a taxable income perspective, which obviously then assists with borrowings.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, a lot of our clients deal in trusts.
Yes.
I wonder why.
A little thing about asset protection or something.
Yeah, something I've been on the bandwagon with for 20 years. But anyway, there are certain things that need to be done, not just would be nice to have done, but actually need to be done if you're operating through trust before the end of the financial year.
Yes, so one of the ATO requirements is that you must pass a resolution or a minute prior to the 30th of June, putting down who is going to receive the income from that trust for that year. So part of that obviously is that tax planning and working out, well, how much income are we really talking about, so we can get that minute and resolution as accurate as possible.
Yeah. So who does that?
Normally your accountant does. So we're contacting our clients now saying, hey, this needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not sort of I'll just scribble this on a piece of paper, you know, because it does go in line with what does your trust deed say and what are the definition of income according to your trust deed and making sure it doesn't
Does that mean you have to read the things every year?
Yes. Well, not every year. We have to read it at least once. So, you know, and making sure that it's not so old that it also might need an update
upgrade
as well.
Yeah. Particularly for superannuation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something you really have to get on top of. Okay, so we have to make this election basically of where our money's going to go, and a minute has to be done up.
Yes.
How do they know you did it before the end of June?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? We certainly like to have them out and back in our office, because there has been court cases about this, and if they ask to see them, I guess the more evidence we can provide that we've sent them out and got them back. But basically it's a signed, dated minute. That's what it's based on.
Yeah, that's right. And you hold those in your company registers and trust registers and that sort of thing for the client?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So what are some of the other things that we need to be considering as the year rolls on?
Yeah, so other things are things like super contributions.
Yeah.
So a lot of our clients and students are into self-managed super funds. And part
of even if it's not a self-managed
That's right. And part of that's putting that money aside each year up to the amount you can. So, you know, up to 30,000 if you're 49 and under, or 35 if you're 49 and over. And, you know, I think super is such a great investment tool for people,
it is.
And I guess in my profession over the years, I've seen so many, particularly small business people, who say to me, my business is my super. I don't need to put money aside. And then unfortunately see them at the end where, you know, the business they thought they were going to sell for multi-millions isn't, you know.
Or it's in that range where it's a little bit too big for the little guy to buy, but it's too small for the big guy to buy, and then they have to try and bring people in to pass it over, and it just becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, super's a great way.
Or we have a GFC and the damn thing goes backwards.
Absolutely. You know, so super's a really good thing, and not saying you have to go and put 30 or 35,000 into it each year, but contribute something.
Yeah, that's right. And that really applies regardless of whether you're on wages or you've got your own business or you're in property or anything else. It has to be part of that overall.
That's right. A really important thing about super, though, is the super contributions, if you're going to do that, have to be received by the super fund prior to 30th of June.
Yeah, it actually has to hit their bank account, doesn't it?
It does.
There can't be a cheque that you wrote out or something.
No, and you can't do, you know, the electronic transfer on the 30th of June because that's not going to reach them until the next day.
Yeah, very good point there. Okay, what are some of the other things that we might be looking at?
Okay, so for an individual as well, you know, things like income protection's always, for me, a really, really big one. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have income protection insurance? You know, it's a tax deduction. Mm-hmm. So life insurance and trauma is not, but income protection is.
And I think total and permanent is.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really an important thing to have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember when I was back in your shoes in the accountancy practice days, I had this client who was a mechanic, right?
Yep.
Couple mechanic, mum and dad mechanic, and he was the mechanic and she did all of the books and she was hands-on in the business, etc. And he used to be a professional water skier, speed water skier. And I was at this guy, I said, you know, Paul, this is not good enough. You have to get income protection insurance because you're in a type of business where, you know, Lee can't go and run this business without you. You are the mechanic.
Yep.
You know, and vice versa. You won't be able to handle it. You can probably employ a bookkeeper, but, you know, she's not going to be able to bring a mechanic in to do what you do, all this kind of thing. Anyway, I said, you need income protection insurance. You're out there on the water whizzing around at unbelievable speeds. You need water. You need income protection insurance. Well, it took him, I don't know, about 6 months to find somebody who'd actually insure him for this dangerous sport.
Yeah.
But as it was, he had an accident and he was off work for a full year.
Wow.
And, you know, they would have gone under. I mean, there were clients that I'd encouraged to get out there and buy their commercial property they were in, and they had an investment property, all this kind of stuff. So without that, they would have gone bankrupt. Yep. And it's just a simple thing that, you know, you've got to have it.
Yeah.
Because if anything goes wrong, that's what saves you.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, in my profession, you just see the people all the time that don't have it. And,
I know.
And you know, not even the result on the business, it's the result on the family.
That's
and the
right.
stress.
But even someone like yourself, I remember, when I was back in the accountancy practice days, I sort of looked at myself and thought, I don't need income protection insurance. I mean, what could possibly happen to me that I can't be an accountant? What do I need to do? All I need to do is be able to talk and I can be an accountant, right? Well, of course, you know, you've got to be careful what you wish for. So I decided, you know, that I was tired and I needed a holiday and I was overweight and I needed to lose weight. So guess what happens? Saturday out there playing with the kids on the golf course, my eldest son takes this massive big swing, misses completely, swings around and hits me right in the face with a golf club. Broke my jaw. Well, I can tell you, when you've got your jaw wired together and the only thing you can fit in between your lips is a straw, you lose weight, I couldn't talk, and I got a holiday.
Wow.
Not what I expected, but all of those things came true.
Be careful what you wish for.
But my income protection insurance kicked into gear and I was paid while I was sitting at home drinking my food.
Well, that's good from that point of view.
So get that income protection insurance put into place.
Absolutely. If I'm allowed to use the dirty word of negative gearing, I know. But another thing that's really good prior to the 30th of June is looking at pay-as-you-go withholding variations. So big, long word, but what it basically means is if you have a negatively geared property and you get a tax refund each year because of this negative property and you want to hold it for whatever reasons, don't need to explain it to us, we'll believe it's a good investment in the long term, you can apply to the ATO and say, can you please tell my employer to take out less tax each week, which means you won't get the big tax refund at the end of the year, but you'll have more money in your pocket each week or month whenever you get paid.
What happens if you get it wrong?
If you get it wrong, if you under or overestimate, then you will have either a tax payable or tax refund at the end of year. So if you're going to do these, don't go completely overboard and overestimate all the expenses. You know, we like to estimate on the low side based on the history of that property.
Yeah. But there's no penalties or anything if you get it completely wrong.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've talked about the negative gearing now. So let's talk about something more fun. Tax planning.
Yeah.
Tax, and really, this is a good time to be assessing with your accountant, because you've got to go and see your accountant anyways to, you know, where are we going and what do we need to do for the end of the year, to talk about what my next move is.
Yep.
You know, particularly if you've got an accountant like Tash who is very much into property, and, you know, she deals a lot with my students and is an active property investor yourself. You're
yes.
out there doing deals yourself.
Absolutely.
And I've even shown some of your deals to students and say, see what Tash has done? You should do one of these.
Yeah. Well, you want to take advice from someone who's actually doing it instead
That's exactly
of
right.
learnt about it on paper.
And also to discuss, okay, well, you know, over the next year, what are the plans? You
yep.
know, if we did this, how would it affect that? I'm thinking doing this, what could happen over there? All of those types of things, you know, that's a great time to discuss that stuff. I mean, accountants, good accountants, are more than tax agent lodgement services. You know, it's a lot more than that.
Absolutely. And, you know, bringing out the elephant in the room, I guess, people don't like going to their accountants because we're expensive.
Are you?
Well, you know, I guess it's relative. And it is. It's relative to how much value we give you in our advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the number of people we've seen that we could save thousands upon thousands of dollars with just picking up the phone before you buy or sell that property.
Yeah.
You know, it's don't be scared to call us because we do have value. You
yes,
know, and
absolutely.
We would love to help you, but you need to open up that communication with
yeah.
us as well.
Something that I want to talk about now, we talk about cost, is a lot of people are of the opinion that if you set up all of these structures for asset protection purposes, it's going to cost you an absolute fortune when you get your tax done.
Yeah.
What do you say about that?
Absolutely not. You know, accountants charge on time.
Yep.
So whether we are spending that time doing a rental property in a trust or a rental property in an individual, it's taking us the same amount of time.
That's right.
You know, so yes, your fee's going to increase because you've now got an extra property. It's not increasing because there's a new structure involved.
That's exactly right. So it's only the initial setup of the structure that's going to be an extra cost. Apart from the companies, because they have to keep registered every year.
Yes.
But they don't do tax returns. It's the trust that's doing the tax return.
That's right.
And it's only $200 and something for the to keep the company registered. And so from an ongoing perspective, it's not more expensive at all.
No, it's not. And I guess that initial cost, my theory with that is it's an insurance policy. So, you know, each year you will happily pay money over to the insurance company to protect that property and look after it. Whereas to me, setting up the structures is like a one-off insurance policy.
That's right. Yeah. So you've got to get that stuff in place.
Yeah.
What else can you think that people need to know about coming up to the end of the financial year?
I guess too is also getting your records in order.
Yep.
So, you know, back to that previous comment of people saying, oh, you know, I find my accountant so expensive. Often our situation on the other side is people will come and drop a whole bunch of documents off and we have
or
to go
screwed
through
up
them.
Receipts.
Yeah. We have to go through them. We have to figure out what they are. You know, take this time pre-30th of June to contact your accountant, say, how do you want me to present this? You know, and then put
or
it into
Or to get a bookkeeper
format.
In to get it into order before you dump it on you.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's not a lot of fun for us going through, you know, that kind of paperwork and you know, we know that you don't love the bill at the end that's associated with it. So
it's tax deductible. What are you whinging about?
I'm not, believe me. I always like when people call me on the 30th of June and say, what can I do for tax planning? I'm like, you can pay me a year in advance. So no one's ever taken me up on it, funnily enough.
That's right. So, yeah, get all that kind of, get your bookkeeping in order, so you know where you're going
to
be at.
That's right. And it's also a good time, obviously, to have a look at what you're going to do for the next financial year. You know, is it time to move to a different accounting software? You know, because 1st of July is when you want to start setting up any kind of new accounting package.
And if you need to set up a new account because you get the new structure in place, you know, get it before the end of so the BAS finishes on the 30th of June and your new year, and so the old one doesn't have to do another tax return, all those kind of logistical things.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, there's something else we should talk about, and that's the recent budget changes, because we're coming up to the year end, and there was some announcements when we had the recent budget a little while ago about extra tax deductions that we can get if we go out and buy certain items before the end of the financial year to encourage us to keep in, you know, businesses going and investing, etc.
That's right, and it was a pretty good announcement. If you're in the business of real estate, so running this as a business with developments and that sort of thing, you used to be able to claim a tax deduction of up to $1,000 for any equipment that you'd bought straight away. Anything over $1,000, you would have to depreciate it. They've increased that limit now up to $20,000. So that's a huge jump. And it's $20,000 per item. So, you know, you could go buy an $18,000 motor vehicle, a $2,500 computer. That limit applies to each single item that you actually acquire. And it's a really large jump. And, you know, I mean, the basis of it is to go out and have people spending money in the economy, but it's also great for a tax deduction if you need it.
Well, that's right. So, you know, it's not something, I guess, we, you know, you're going to run out and buy all these things if you don't need them.
No, that's right. There are people that feel, I don't want to pay tax. I'll do anything not to pay tax. But I guess my philosophy is, well, you also, you know, the tax rate is, say, even 30%. So if you go and spend a dollar, you know, you'll get 30 cents as a tax deduction off that. But you're not getting 100%. You're not getting all of your money back. So don't go out and think, I'll go spend all this money and I'll get it all back as a tax deduction. That's not the way it works. You're only getting back 30% of the money you spend.
So you don't go silly.
No.
But if there are things that you're going to buy probably in the next 6 months, well, hey, we may as well get them now and get the full tax deduction in this financial year.
Yeah, I agree.
And that $20,000 is per item. So,
yep.
You know, you could buy a bunch of stuff under $20,000 and it all adds up. If you need it. You need it, that's the thing. Now, how do people get hold of you, Tash?
Yeah, the best way is to visit our website, which is investoraccountingnetwork.com.au. Find out where the closest office is to you. We have offices all over Australia. And get in contact with you. We would love to help you out.
Very good. Well, thank you, Tash, for coming on and sharing all your wealth of knowledge as per usual.
Oh, no worries.
And thanks for doing that budget summary with me as well, budget summary for property investors. We, you know, I had a lot of good comments about that where people kept ringing me up saying, you know, we got all the printouts from the banks and all of this kind of stuff as to what the budget meant, but nobody told us what it meant for property investors except you. So
that's great. I will convert people one at a time to being as excited about budget as I am.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks, Tash, again for coming on. And as usual, guys, we'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon on another exciting topic. Talk to you soon, guys.